Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Traitor state of Indiana, where Obama's ideals are not espoused, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show as a means to tell all you liberals out there that you are wrong and we are right. My name is Kathy Hinners, and you're listening to Hour One of the show, where we do what we do best, tell you what the government is doing to this great nation with Obama and his minions. We're showing you ways to stop them by following the true law of the land, the Constitution. And now, heard through ConservativeNationMedia.com, here is your host from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good to have you all here. I've been working on my show, trying to get it going, fighting between the two computers I've got here. One of them halfway works. The other one works every way but one. And that one way that the old one doesn't work, the new one doesn't either. So I talked to Duke this afternoon. He was at a rally for someone that he's working for to try and get them elected over in Delaware. And he sounded like he was having a lot of fun. But last week I started my show with an advertisement of my new book that I had just had published a couple weeks ago, and it was a long time in the making, but it now can be gotten from several places. The address I gave last week was at the www.createspace.com/4869187. And I've also got me a new one, which is a website for it. That's http://garding.wix.com, and then /store-book-store-. Check it out and buy the book. Thank you in advance. From fixthisnation.com comes this one. And the question is finally being asked here. Why? UN calls for Israel ceasefire in the name of humanity. Now this, to me, is ridiculous and insane. It really brings tears to being done. Well, it comes in an article. Following another weekend of violence, the Secretary General in the United States called for a humanitarian ceasefire in the United Nations. It called for the humanitarian ceasefire on Monday, demanding compliance from both Israel and Gaza in the name of humanity. Ban Ki-moon, good name for a moon bat, words match the Security Council's earlier call for an immediate ceasefire, but he went on to deliver a sharp rebuke of both Israel, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and Hamas leader Khaled Mashal, supposedly shaming them for letting their citizens die in the battle. More on this in a moment. Though the comments were criticism of Gaza and Hamas, it remains clear that the UN is doing their bidding when making calls for a ceasefire. Palestinian authorities have been lobbying the U.S. to pass a more direct resolution for the last week. A step Ban and Security Council stopped short of taking, but not by much. The problem with a humanitarian ceasefire at this point in time is a matter of trust, folks. There are issues of bias in the statements made by the council. They do not mention Israel's right to protect herself, nor do they make any comments on the rockets being fired into Israel by Hamas daily before this started. Like protesters around the world, the UN treats this like an unprovoked act of aggression on the part of Israel. And sadly, folks, this is the way that all protesters, including the one that I will talk about shortly from Florida, have on this. They do not think of the fact that Israel has been provoked into this by daily attacks on their cities. They think that Israel is in this for no reason but to do it. Far too much of the world sees it the same way, treating Israel like a mom would a teenager who retaliates against his antagonizing little brother by saying, "You're older, you should know better." But still, others seem confused as to why America should put her support behind Israel to begin with, which is where it should be, folks. We have done so historically since the creation of the state in 1948. But it is fair to say that historically is not much of a reason. The big reason, of course, is that Israel is an oasis of democracy in the Middle East that is chronically unstable. In the Middle East, I'm talking about, not Israel, dictatorial and volatile. In 2012, Mitt Romney had it right when he questioned on record whether peace was even what the Palestinians wanted. It's a valid question, backed up by evidence of repeatedly broken ceasefires in the past by them, and just recently. It's also a question that is worth coming back to when John Kerry and Obama make allusions toward getting things under control in that region, something they will never do. Conservatives and the wisest of liberals know that putting America's full support behind Israel is not just the right thing to do, it is the most practical from a strategic perspective. Israel has a powerful military, and it makes sense for America to create allies out of the strongest country she can. That goes double for a region not known for its support of the United States' interests. To give up that ally would weaken our leverage with Iran, Iraq, and many other neighboring countries. Until democracy and stability are Middle East trademarks, our alliance with Israel must continue. And to make this easier to understand here, Israel is not the aggressor here. Palestine and Hamas are, and rightly so, they are the ones getting their butts kicked. Leave Israel alone to do her stuff if we are not willing to help her. You are listening to this episode of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Harding. We are glad you're here on this August the 9th of 2014. And now, Mark Levin said it best when he said it on his Thursday show, that those in the media and the talking heads that are criticizing Israel, who has deliberately gone out of their way to warn people before they will attack, and that then do everything in their power not to hurt civilians, even while theirs are being targeted daily, are still at fault. The talking heads, media, and John Kerry have it all back-ass words. Why is it that every other country in the world can defend themselves, but not Israel? Also, what would happen during the American Civil War, or would we have even won World War II if this is how we were going to fight? Our media and some aspects of the Democrat Party are rooting for the enemy against Israel, and that Israel is only allowed to fight in a war a certain way. In other words, get beat. We also have Joe Scarborough of MSNBC's Morning Joe, who blames Israel for indiscriminate killing, while saying Hamas is not a radical Islamist group, but a humanitarian one. What drug is this man on? This whole idea that Israel is just killing Palestinians indiscriminately is insane. If you just look at it, at the history of this area, Israel for the last year has been undergoing almost daily attacks from Hamas and Palestine, though if you listen to the mainstream media, they are completely devoid of being right when it comes to this, because they will not report this part of it, because it goes against the things they want. They want Israel and the United States destroyed, so they can no longer kill people, only be killed. Yeah, that is my idea. But if you think about it, isn't that the logical way to think of this? If our military cannot fight a war on the terms of the enemy, but on the terms of the liberal left or the enemy, you know, our military cannot fire on anyone on the battlefield until they are fired upon and one is killed. That kind of thinking, that is the kind of thinking that is behind this fiasco that is brewing for Israel. Except the talking heads are taking out the killing of Israel's Israelis in this one. Israel cannot defend herself, period. It's wrong. It has to stop. Just lie back and be annihilated by the enemy. You have no right to fight back. I cannot stress this enough, this one enough here, folks. Israel is just defending herself because it was not Israel that started this one. And for those of you out there that mince words to make them mean what you want, I will say this again. Israel did not start this one. Hamas did. Palestine under Hamas did. They are the ones that almost daily fire souls into Israel, into Jerusalem in an attempt to kill Israeli citizens. But this backfired on them because Israel has the Iron Dome to protect herself, and not many Israeli citizens were killed. So Hamas or Palestine did it another way. They killed three Israeli children. Then they got what they deserved. Israel came in and kicked butt. Sadly, the world is being told a different story on this, one that tells us that it is totally Israel's fault, and no one else holds the blame for starting this. It is Israel's fault for defending herself successfully. And this is a bunch of bullcrap malarkey. If everyone, the other day on MSNBC came this one with Mika Brzezinski after interviewing Israel's ambassador to the United States, Ron Dermer. Boy, when she said this.
Still ahead, a new health care crisis. The U.S. Surgeon General is calling for immediate action to stop the rise of skin cancer. He'll explain why the new cause for concern. Keep it right here on Morning Joe. Joe.
Now, how many other medias to get away with that with nobody saying a word? The Morning Joe show. The new society that is dictating anyone who can win cannot is going to be the end of this world as we know it. And what is coming is a world where America and Israel cannot exist. In a world, it is a world where the Constitution cannot exist, for it will not be compatible with what is coming. It's just like Sharia law is not compatible with our Constitution. It will become our Constitution that needs to go, or we will suffer the consequences of the new world order that Obama has in mind and has had in mind since he became president or dictator of this nation. You think he has in mind something that will be good for us? Think on it again, folks, for he is one of the main big players for the destruction of this nation and her founding laws. There is no other way to see this if you look at it with an open mind and see just what can and can't be done. If Obama and his New World Order falls into place, our Constitution will fall by the wayside graveyard of unintended consequences, or actually it's really intended consequences, as will the freedoms that we all hold so dear. Oh, you think this can't happen? Look to Chicago and other liberal-run cities where the Second Amendment no longer exists. If they can do that in a big city like Chicago, what makes you think they can't get away with it sometime in the near future throughout our whole country if we let them do them like the people of Chicago did? But going back to that audio I played you a few minutes ago, folks, we have to really start watching what's going on. One Republican congressman hit the right nerve Friday night and found himself facing the wrath of House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. This one was unusual in the fact that what Nancy Pelosi did is against decorum of the House and the Senate. She cannot do this down in the on the floor like that. ABC News called it an unusual breach not have been done, but nobody said anything to her. But says as he spoke about the border funding bill Friday, Representative Tom Marino accused Democrats of making the border a political issue after doing nothing while they control the House, Senate, and White House. That's very true, folks. You got to admit that. You know something that I find quite interesting about the other side, Marino said? Under the leadership of former Speaker Pelosi and under the leadership of their former leader, Representative Steny Hoyer, when in 2009 and 10, they had the House, the Senate, and the White House, and they knew this problem existed then. They didn't have the strength to go after it back then. But now, are trying to make it a political issue out of it now? His comments incited Pelosi to charge across the floor and challenge him. Marino seemed taken aback as he responded to Pelosi's challenge. Yes, it's true, Marino said. I did the research on it. You might want to try it. You might want to try it, Madam Leader. Do the research on it. Marino wrapped up, noting that apparently I hit the right nerve, which drew applause from Republicans and another charge across the floor, complete with finger-waving from Pelosi. Ooh, I'm scared. Not. We will be right back with this one, after this one.
$80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com with New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm Robert Gardiner. Call-in number 718-305-7176. From Class Daily, a blog that I quote from a lot here, comes an article written by Donald Choi, yes, the other day, titled Barack, Ebola, Death to America. It is a good one. Strange days indeed. This week, we endured not only the president's dishonest, defense of Islamic polygamy of his African family background, we were also treated to Michelle Ebola, exclaiming, "The blood of Africa runs through my veins." How nice. It's just so comforting knowing that the people in charge of the United States are so eager to carry various influences from the dark continent from whence the AIDS virus originates and import them among us, not to mention the mass legal invasion of our communities happening from the diseased and dangerous regions to our south. Now outbreaks of the deadly Ebola virus are escalating in West Africa and cases of nightmare disease are starting to arrive on international airports at our or international flights at our airports, courtesy of the official efforts of our own African-run government. "Diversity is our strength," cry the liberals, as America staggers even further in the direction of a third-world failed country. We can analyze all of it to the point of nausea. But the bottom line is that liberals hate America. They really do. Notice that multiculturalism and diversity are policies being waged against only white-majority countries. Nowhere else on the planet are ethnic majority populations and cultures being deliberately displaced, disparaged, and dismantled. This is why many people are claiming that all amounts to anti-white genocide. Merriam-Webster defines genocide as the deliberate and systematic destruction of a racial, political, or cultural group. Barack Hussein Obama merely represents the culmination of this suicidal, genocidal impulse over the decades in America. Many leaders before him were prepared the way. George W. Bush was particularly eager to make a show of anti-racism, code for anti-white, by his lax policies toward illegal aliens from the south of the border, his own ardent participation in the incredibly disastrous push for the highest minority home ownership rates in U.S. history, and his proclaiming that Islam is a religion of peace while rushing off to pray at a mosque in the aftermath of 9/11 so as to demonstrate his obsequious dhimmi status towards our Arab Wahhabi overlords and so on. Oh, yes. Where was I? President Clinton. Remember that? Bush the Elder, Ronnie Reagan, Jimmy Carter. Go all the way back to 1965 and you'll find groveling white leaders trying to prove how magnanimous they were towards anyone not of European descent. I recently had to explain to one of my local politicians, a school board member at large in a district with millions of people here in Fairfax County, Virginia. Now, this is from Flash Daily. Here at Fairfax County, Virginia, about how prior to 1965, U.S. immigration policy heavily favored those coming from European countries, but that immediately thereafter, our government turned that script upside down and instead mostly shut the door to legal immigrants from Europe and opened the floodgates to arrivals from all over the third world. He had no clue about it. He had been quoted in the Washington Post on the topic of how our district schools were being overrun with non-English speaking children and how intolerant it was of a neighboring country to have passed an ordinance to allow local law enforcement to ask the immigration status of suspended criminals. I phoned him and gave him a piece of my mind and a brief history lesson. Multiculturalism isn't merely about the harmless and even beneficial approach of appreciating and embracing diverse cultures within a dominant framework of a prevailing heritage and culture which gives stability to what would otherwise degenerate into chaos. It's actually about intentionally undermining and destroying the traditional European-derived American culture and bringing about chaotic strife and a war of all against all here within our borders. Why would anyone want to do this? Those who have taken the trouble to know just who and what Barack Ebola really is and who have taken the trouble to learn about the Frankfurt School at Columbia University, and Saul Alinsky et al. Know the answer, as do we all, if we would just a few moments.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Time starts now. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat? Where can you find the answers to these questions?
Car crashes are one of the leading killers of U.S. children. Many of those deaths could be prevented by making sure that kids are in the right seat for their age and size. Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. That's safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs, the Delaware Society of CPAs, and the Ad Council.
One of these days I will stop forgetting to add something in there before I start my break. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance and sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard trained service. LifeLock helps protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, you can get 10% off their great service. Go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, and then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did. It's hard to even begin to try to understand Nancy Pelosi. She's an interesting individual, to say the least. During a hearing of the House Democrats on Tuesday, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi argued that the bill proposed by Republicans did not have the adequate resources to help unintended minors crossing the border with the immigration court process. The bill announced by Republicans on Tuesday would spend $659 million in new spending in response to the crisis on the border. Citing a friend, Pelosi said that we cannot have deportation without representation. And she praised the group that were working to help the detained children. the hearing featured unattended minors now living in the United States who complained about how the border officials treated them. It's not just about having heart, it's about having a soul, Pelosi said after the children finished testifying. And the soul of our country is about respecting the dignity and worth of every person. The soul of our country is about giving every person access to the rights who is in our country. Pelosi noted that sending the children back to their home countries would be like sending them back to a burning building. I guess she would know. She again compared the children to the baby Jesus who fled his home country as an infant to escape violence. She continued by saying, so we do appeal to our country that our colleagues and our colleagues to have a heart when it comes to people coming into our country, some seeking amnesty and asylum to escape violence in Central America or wherever they came from, she said. What might come up as a great game for the family? What is this woman going to think of next to say? You know it is going to be insane or at least stupid. Maybe the kids can win this game. I have trouble thinking of what to say when I hear the things this woman comes up with. I mean, think of it. My daughter Ariel, who just turned 13, has more smart things to say than this woman has since she started her political career, let's see, 20 decades ago? If it isn't that long, it sure looks like it was. Nancy Pelosi, one big idiot. She has no clue about what she speaks about most of the time. She has no clue about what she is saying 99% of the time. And the thing that's really scary about this whole thing is that she is a leader of this country. I would kind of like to look back on it and think about it. You know, leaders of this country are supposed to be smart. The leaders of this country are supposed to be knowledgeable about what's going on. Leaders of this country are supposed to know right from wrong. I don't think this woman does on any of those points. I think she is just a, I don't know, to put it mildly, I think she's a lot like Harry Reid right now. She's going into senility, and her mind is kind of coming and going, mostly going, and she never knows what she's talking about. And if she does know what she's talking about, she's never talking about what's really happening or what really should happen because she has no concept of right and wrong anymore. She's been making it up for so long that just like Obama and just like Harry Reid, they've been making up the truth for so long, they don't know what the truth is anymore. And they're all idiots, if you ask me. This is something that... if you stop to think about what's going on, what's happening, and what we were taught as children as to what is right and what is wrong, it would smack us in the face as to what's going on, and we would know it immediately instead of letting all the politicians tell us what's right and what's wrong when they don't even know about it in the first place. I don't know. Sometimes insane, I think. But I really have trouble understanding why we are so amiss to what is going on in this country. And Daily Roll Call, one of the people that, Kathy Hinner, she does my entrance here on my show, just posted something, and it's titled ISIS, A Warning to America, and it's something I'm going to be talking about later on, but she puts originally composed Sunni Muslim insurgents, including members of al-Qaeda in Iraq, that Jaish al-Fatin have grown in strength and numbers and continue to roll violently into cities, leaving behind beheaded bodies and carnage. ISIS is giving an option to convert to Islam, leave or die. But this news isn't new. This proclamation is the bottom line of every Islamist group from Hamas to the Muslim Brotherhood. Some groups are just a little more subtle with their message. The Muslim Brotherhood states, quote, destroying the Western civilization from within, unquote, while the Hamas Charter, Article 15, states that jihad for the liberation of Palestine is an individual obligation, or which the title of it is, Article 15, is the jihad for the liberation of Palestine is an individual obligation, but it states, I swear by that who holds in its hands the soul of Muhammad, I indeed wish to go to war for the sake of Allah. I will assault and kill, assault and kill, assault and kill. Their own documents lay out the plan for their goal of returning to the caliphate. So why do Americans struggle so comprehending Islam over there as the same Islam over here? The American media doesn't get it either. CNN's Ashley Bainfield reports on a video from ISIS claiming its goal is to fly the flag of ISIS over the White House. And that's something else I'm going to be talking about here later on in this show. Her reply, probably not a stretch to say that it's highly unlikely. But here lies the problem. We are so arrogant and ignorant to believe that every terrorist organization is well-established and very productive in the United States won't rise to commit what their doctrine defines as every Muslim duty. People, they don't like us. They want to kill us. They want to get rid of us. What is so hard about that to understand? I mean, even a first grader can understand that one. If somebody doesn't like you, and somebody doesn't want you around and they vow to kill you, they're not going to leave you alone. For those who commit to leaving their heads in the sand and deny the Islamists among us will be called to jihad, good luck, know how it works out for you. And that's from Kathy Hinners of the Daily Roll Call. We are lucky to have people like her that really look to find out what's going on in this nation and what's going on in this world. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard without your hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And you are listening to conservativenationmedia.com with the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm Robert Gardner, your host. Our call-in number is 718-305-716 if you want to join. Imagine the Republicans doing the right thing. Now get a load of what the House of Representatives just did. Oh, you didn't hear about this one? From Breitbart comes this one. And folks, you're going to get a hold of your representatives. They did this one. The House of Representatives voted Friday evening to pass a bill that blocks President Barack Obama from continuing or expanding executive amnesty via the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, as they call it, program or programs like it. The bill passed 216 to 192, with 11 Republicans voting against it and 4 Democrats voting for it. The Republicans who voted against this are Representatives Mario Diaz-Balart, Rick Gardner, Republican of Colorado, and Adam Kinzinger, Republican of Illinois, David Reichardt, Republican of Washington, David Vladao, Republican of California, and Elena Ross-Lehtinen, Republican of Florida, and Joe Heck, Republican of Virginia, Fred Upton, Republican of Michigan, and Mark Amodei, A-M-O-D-E-I, Republican of Nevada, and Mike Kaufman, Republican of Colorado. The Democrats who voted for it are Representatives John Barrow, Democrat for Georgia, Nick Rahal, Democrat West Virginia, Mike McIntyre, Democrat North Carolina, and Colin Peterson, Democrat Minnesota. Amen. A lengthy battle between conservatives in the House GOP leadership and marks a new point in the GOP's efforts to fight the Democrats on immigration, rallying Republicans against the left heading into the midterm election season. The floor debate on this bill and the previous one Friday evening were bloody fights between Republicans who seem to have found their backbone against liberal immigration policies again, and Democrats who are using this battle to push for a widespread amnesty via a comprehensive immigration reform bill. At one point, Representative Steve King, Republican of Iowa, noted that the sergeant-at-arms of the House of Representatives had to come down to the floor to restore order after the Democrats loudly protested the effort by the Republican Party to block President Obama's planned executive amnesty. I don't know about this, folks, but it seems like every time somebody does the right thing, they get castigated for it anymore. We will be right back.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council. Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Okay, and now for NWCR's first news segment, Around the Nation. In 8 minutes, we will take you around America this week in the news from down in Texas, from a Channel 6 KRIS news report with the special report from Jessica James comes this one. Dr. Michael Vickers and his wife Linda started the Texas Border Volunteers back in 2006. Their ranch sits about 69 miles north of the Mexico border. They say people crossing the border illegally file through their property every day, many trying to dodge the Falfurrias checkpoint, which is about 7 miles north of their property. here is some of that report. And if after hearing this you will still think the border security is not the right thing, you need to leave this country. Veterinarian Michael Vickers and his wife Linda always carry protection with controlling their property, something that has to be done daily. And here, it's a little lengthy, but it is good to listen to.
Dr. Michael Vickers and his wife Linda started the Texas Border Volunteers back in 2006. Their ranch sits about 69 miles north of the Mexico border. They say people crossing the border illegally file through their property every day, many trying to dodge the Falfurrias checkpoint, which is about 7 miles north of their property. Veterinarian Michael Vickers and his wife Linda always carry protection when patrolling their property.
So it's got a 30-round magazine. And that is a judge loaded with buckshot. So I carry two, and then I got a 380 right here with a crimson trace on it. So, you know, you never know if you get in a jam whether you're going to need all that. But one thing for sure, you don't want to be outgunned out here.
Dr. Vickers took us along as he set out on his daily rounds.
All right, here we go.
Ride.
But there's been some recent traffic through there. You see somebody's already gone through there.
Signs of illegal trafficking.
We fill this up with cement, brush, prickly pear on a daily basis.
Dr. Vickers says this is one of the many crawl holes on his land. A secret camera set up by a documentary film crew proves he's right. Even an electric fence won't keep the immigrants out. As of July 18th, Dr. Vickers' wife, Linda, reported 207 immigrants to Border Patrol. 146 of them were caught. An estimated 500 immigrants trample through Brooks County on any given day. Dr. Vickers says it's not just people from Mexico and South America seeping through the porous border.
I mean, we're losing our country here. I mean, there's all kinds of people coming in here, not just people that are impoverished coming in here for work, but we're encountering gang members. We're encountering Middle Easterners. You know that people from terrorist countries, special interest countries, are coming in here.
Dr. Vickers calls them OTMs, other than Mexican. These pictures, just some of the OTMs Vickers says he found on his property.
And we had a guy with a rifle leading 33 Chinese came over the fence. But we ended up getting 27 of them caught with good air support from the Border Patrol that night.
The Chinese?
Chinese, yeah.
Dr. Vickers says he's found people who are from special interest groups and possible terrorist groups. As he flips through an English to Urdu translation book found on his ranch, he points to different phrases.
You must pay in dollars.
Highlighted by the original owner.
All these different phrases. And obviously this was the coyote. And so he was bringing 9 Middle Easterners in here and they got away.
Urdu is spoken in Pakistan and other countries in the Middle East. The Texas Border Patrol volunteer group is made up of 300 people. During a time when Border Patrol is stretched so thin, volunteers are heavily deployed here to Brooks County. The Sheriff's Department only has 4 deputies. Reserve officers like Eloy Galvan and Austin Malone help fill in those holes.
It's hard for us to cover so much terrain.
Now, Border Security keeps a book about showing the number of recovered bodies on the border of the Sheriff's Department, and they call it a body book, and it shows the problem with the amount of death that happens out there because the illegals coming in and dying in the process. Shows June with 5 bodies in 2009, 3 in 2010, 6 in 2011, and 18 in 2012. July shows 11 in 2009, 7 in 2010, 9 in 2011, and 25 in 2012. The problem is, as I have said many times, Mexican people coming from squalor and poverty are not all that are coming in. We have Middle Easterners from Pakistan and other terrorist-prone areas. This is enough to turn your stomach, isn't it? And as Dr. Vickers says, we are losing our country. There has been 43 so far this year, 87 last year, and 213 the year before. And the Sheriff's Department says the county is spending about $2,000 on each pistachio with Douglas V. Gibbs, who was on this show a few weeks ago, with a report on the illegal problem exacerbated by the Obama administration, comes news breaking this week. House votes to sue Obama. yay. The House voted mostly among party lines Wednesday to authorize suing Barack Obama, which Republicans called a principled move to rein in an increasingly lawless president, and Democrats in the White House dismissed it as a taxpayer-financed political stunt. Of course they did. But the resolution adopted 225 to 201 would authorize a lawsuit against the president over his implementation of the Unaffordable Careless Act, with five Republicans joining all the Democrats in opposition: Paul Brown of Georgia, Steve Stockman of Texas, Scott Garrett of New Jersey, Thomas Massie of Kentucky, and Walter B. Jones of North Carolina. GOP leaders plan to sue over this decision to delay the employer mandate without authorization from Congress, a toothless act of institutional impotence, far more symbolic as that than as rebuke of the one, then so would be an impeachment inquiry. The lawsuit simply does not have the potential, backfire potential, which is why the White House has been working overtime to lump in it with the notion of impeachment as a frantic means of rousing the donk's disgruntled nutroot base in the face of the onrushing electoral cataclysm bearing down upon Democrats just 97 days from now. 96 now. The question will be what House puppies do after their compatriots on the other side of the Capitol retake the Senate. That would be the best time to move forward with impeachment, with the coast clear of immediate PR implications. Oh, sure. It would be just as irremovable in the case for impeachment, with no less makeable stuporous impenetrably ignorant citizenry, no matter what Andy McCarthy may believe, all of which is why the White House is all but begging Speaker Boehner to pull the eye trigger. If the Republicans are ever going to try, November 4th would be the time to do so. But as we all know, John Boehner has taken impeachment off the table. Now, whether it's come back on or not, I don't know. But either way, all it is a stunt, because it won't pass no matter what. It'll never get through to, it'll never get through Harry Reid's Senate. And from Daily Roll Call, we have your unaccompanied minors coming across our borders. One photo says it all. It is a photo of young and old men, rough looking, and if you look at the photo, you can see many there wouldn't hesitate to shoot you in the face if you stopped them. This is what we are allowing our government to bring into this country. Illegals are nothing more than criminals, and they should be punished. But what is really happening here is we have an administration who thinks that obeying the law is something that has to be punished, and breaking the law is the new normal. And we have sadly allowed this kind of behavior to continue for years now by continuing to elect the officials who have nothing better to do than to mutate our laws and make existing laws non-effective new laws to force all of us to do things we do not want to do, like accepting illegals being bussed into our state. This week, Governor Pence here in Indiana demanded an explanation from President Obama as to why he's bussing these people all over the nation, including here in Indiana, without telling us about it, and why they aren't being shipped back home where they should be. Still, as of now, no response from Obama. He is, after all, a non-existent president when it comes to issues that do not pertain to his new world order of things. He is, after all, wants to destroy America by letting everyone in and making sure they have more rights than the Americans who have lived here and followed the ever-expanding liberty-infringing laws all the time. You scared yet? That is just the beginning of what our so-called representatives are doing to us. You do not know the half of it. Now, I really know not thinking that going to stop just because I found out about it, or somebody else will probably find out about it. Obama is the root of our major problems here in America today. And that is the first segment of that I call Around America in 8 minutes. We will be right back with the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism radio show here on Conservative Nation Media. So stay tuned and welcome, Lady Michelle.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm... I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent in the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
From West Central Indiana, one of the few states that runs a budget in the black, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. Hi, I'm Kathy Hinners of Daily Roll Call to let you know that traditional Americans are still considered traitors in the Obama nation, and we're proud of our constitutional conservatism. Obama can't touch this. You're listening to Hour 2 of the show, and we're being broadcast to you through ConservativeNationMedia.com. And now, the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, your host, Robert Garding.
The main reason we are in trouble now, folks, is because we are allowing a president who will lecture us on our values and what we usually will not allow, yet go on in government, of course, not of his own doing, that go against these sensibilities. Yet we have people like this lady that I have talked about before, who Joe Pags is talking about again, who has 15 children from several different men, 10 from one, and she is on television news telling a reporter that her life was going okay until child services got into the mix, and since then her life's gone downhill since the man who fathered 10 of her children was put in jail for a crime he committed. Things are going bad, and they're going bad for her since she doesn't have the money to get things she needs. After several agencies paid her utilities and her rent, she said, and I quote, "I don't have any clothes, and people have been donating food from just around here, just helping me out with food, and I don't have anything. Somebody needs to pay for all my children and Gary, all our suffering and all our pain. Somebody needs to be held accountable. They need to pay, unquote. Oh, really? It's my fault you had 15 children? It is my fault you don't have a job? It is my fault you are destitute? Think so. You need to take responsibility for your own actions. You need to be held accountable, you poor excuse for a woman. Your children, the poor things, are suffering for your stupidity, woman. Child services needs to put them all in good homes so they have a chance at life. Then take you to surgery so you cannot have any more. God help us if this is the new America, as Joe Pegg says about his video on this. Welcome to the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism radio show on this, the 9th of August, in the year of our Lord, 2014. We are glad to have you here. Maybe history, in a good way, is finally is being made, because so long we have seen a so-called president get away with breaking law after law and ignoring existing laws because they do not fit his agenda. And for most of us here in the citizenry, we kept looking back to Richard Nixon, who had just one thing against him, and that one thing was nothing compared to what Obama has gotten away with during the first few months of his first term, and yet... Nothing against Obama. His supporters would always say, this is just wrong. He has done nothing wrong. Why do you hate the man so? Well, this is just like I've been saying for years now. Obama never was and never will be. Just because enough people were stupid enough to elect him means nothing. But now things are starting to heat up for the man, this man who has gotten away with so much that it would have destroyed any 10 presidencies if only the Constitution was being used here. Articles of impeachment of Barack Obama had finally been drawn up this last week, even though I doubt that it will get anywhere in the Democratic-held Senate. It is a step in the right direction. I found the document on NorthAmericanLawCenter.org, and it starts out thusly. Resolved that President Barack Hussein is acting president of the United States, is impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, and that the following articles of impeachment be exhibited to the Senate. Articles of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives of the United States of America in the name of itself and all of the people of the United States of America against Barack Hussein Obama, the acting president of the United States of America, in maintenance and support of its impeachment against him for high crimes and misdemeanors. Article 1, usurpation of the Oval Office via criminal identity fraud exists, which demonstrate that Barack Hussein Obama has engaged in false personalization and aggravated identity theft and conspiracy to commit false personation and identity theft in the pursuit of high office and governmental power. No bona fide records of evidence presented by Barack Hussein Obama establishes his true identity, and voluminous evidence demonstrates that all of the documents presented by Barack Hussein Obama as proof of identity and eligibility for high office are forgeries created for the sole purpose of deceiving the American people in his pursuit of political power. Additional prima facie evidence demonstrates that Barack Hussein Obama is using an alias and has had different lawful identities, namely Barack Hussein Obama II, Barry Sotero, or Barack Hussein Obama Sobarka. The evidence exists that demonstrates Barack Hussein Obama is using Social Security numbers, none of which appear to have been issued in the state of Hawaii, or that lawfully are attached to his legal identity, and that Barack Hussein Obama has concealed all of his bona fide birth, school, passport, residency, selective service, and previous employment records in an effort to conceal his true identity. Now, that document goes on to talk of things he has done since taking office that were in violation of his constitutional duty to take care of that, of the laws that they be faithfully executed, and that he has prevented, obstructed, and impeded the administration of justice in that, one, on January 20th, 2009, the person identifying himself as Barack Hussein Obama accepted the presidential oath of office on false and fraudulent pretenses. Two, before, during, and since his election in 2009, has made false and misleading statements under oath of perjury to unlawfully accept the office of President of the United States. Three, he has withheld all determinative and material information concerning his true identity and evidence thereof from lawfully authorized investigative officers and employees of the United States under obligation to assure the people of the United States that he is the person he represents himself as and is constitutionally eligible to hold the office of president. Four, he is engaged in approving, condoning, acquiescing in, and counseling witness with giving of false or misleading statements and documents to lawfully authorized investigative officers and employees of the United States concerning his true identity. Now, there are 10 things listed here, and true, none of them talk of the things that he has done to break the law when it comes to the Constitution of the United States since he became president, like ignoring the laws and in their place making up new laws to fit the dangerous things that he has engaged in while president. But folks, this is a start. At least it had finally happened. Everything that was listed here in this document are things that everyone who has mentioned stuff like this has been called birthers and birther conspirators in a full-out attempt to shut us up. And for many of us, that did the trick. We shut up for fear of being labeled as someone who was a sore loser or something like that. And our sad attempts to be liked and admired by everyone, a feat that is humanly impossible. We have kept our mouths shut about all of this and watched it all happen. Justification to us came in little bits and pieces from the lamestream media at times when they would slip up and actually tell the truth about something, only to either totally back off it when the truth of what they said was lauded as finally from the people, or they would come up with another story to take our minds off of what they had just inadvertently printed and let us know about. Article 1 of the Articles of Impeachment finished with all of this, and in all of this, Barack Hussein Obama has acted in a manner contrary to his trust as president and subversive of the constitutional government to the great prejudice of the law of justice and to manifest injury of the people of the United States. Wherefore, Barack Hussein Obama, by such conduct, warrants impeachment and trial and removal from office. It goes on with Article 2 and Article 3, naming U.S. codes like 911 that states whosoever falsely and willfully represents himself to find under this title or imprisoned for not more than 3 years or both. Code 912 says whoever falsely assumes or pretends to be an officer or employee acting under the authority of the United States or any department, agency, or officer thereof, and acts as such or in such pretended character, demands or obtains any money, paper, document, or thing of value shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. U.S. Code 1002 says whoever knowingly and with the intent to defraud the United States or any agency thereof possesses any false, altered, forged, or counter-edited writing in document for the purpose of enabling another to obtain from the United States or from any agency, officer, or agent thereof any sum of money shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for not more than 5 years or both. There are many more, but I hope that you get the idea. Obama is not and has not followed our laws, nor has he protected them, nor has he protected the Constitution of our great republic. And for these reasons alone, I do believe that he is a prime candidate for being impeached. And then have all the monies that he has acquired during said presidency taken away. Now, I have a copy of this in front of me, and I can't help but think that this country cannot afford one man like Barack Hussein Obama, let alone people who will bow down to his will, as most all in Washington are doing. We never could, and now we can afford him even less than before. Time to get this needed thing passed through the Senate and then pushed on to the man himself. His White House, after all, has finally admitted that impeachment is very possible. Let's make it mandatory. It is time for his removal from office and for us to bring back the America that was founded. But wait, our leader in the House, John Boehner, has taken the impeachment off the table, hasn't he? So much for another lost chance, America, I think. America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is a reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com is going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedoms away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for Liberty and Constitution Community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays. I said at 10 p.m. earlier, but it's at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. The right time is 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, where America always wins. From the Mark Levin show the other night, I got to listen to him telling everyone the dangers of what we are allowing here in America and how the same thing happened in Nazi Germany back in the early 30s. Now, I know there are some of those out there who will moan and say, oh, no, not again. But we have to remember, my friends, we speak about it here. Evil is on the move in the Middle East as Islamic terrorists are persecuting and killing Christians, Jews, and fellow Muslims, yet even fellow Muslims. Under President Obama's decisions and Middle Eastern plans, tens of millions of innocent people have died, according to what I had found here. We have ISIS terrorizing thousands of people that are trapped on top of a mountain, and instead of helping them get rid of ISIS, Obama dropped down food and water. These terrorist groups are only strong because we let them be. We are refusing to fight the way we can win, in the way that we can win, by dropping bombs on them. Mark also talked about the New York Times and their liberal bias of not reporting on the atrocities against Christians or Jews. Back in the 1940s, there was a failure of staggering proportions when the New York Times failed to depict Hitler's methodical extermination of the Jews of Europe as a horror beyond all other horrors in World War II, a Nazi war within the war crying out for illumination. The annihilation of 6 million Jews would not for many years become distinctively known as the Holocaust, but its essence became knowable fast enough from ominous and undisputed eyewitness reports collected by American correspondents, agents, and informants. Indeed, a large number of these reports appeared in the Times, but they were mostly buried inside its gray and solid pages, never featured, analyzed, or rendered truly comprehensible. Yet, what they printed made clear that the editors did not long mistrust the ghastly reports. They presented them as true within months of Hitler's secret resolve in 1941 to proceed to the final solution of his fantasized Jewish problem. Why then were the terrifying tales almost hidden in the back pages? Like most, though not all, American media, most of the official Washington Times drowned its reports about the fate of the Jews in a flood of wartime news. Its neglect was far from unique, and its reach was not fully national, but as the premier American source of wartime news, it surely influenced the judgment of other news outlets. And it still goes on today, folks. Look at all the things that the news media will not report on, and then look at what they will. Rather scary, to say the least, and I keep going over my time, but we will be right back after a few moments.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Hey, everybody. Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time, for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
That's every Tuesday night, by the way.
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine.
When it came to reporting during the whole of World War II, folks, there were only six times in nearly 6 years that the Times front page mentioned Jews as Hitler's unique target for total annihilation. Only once was their fate the subject of a lead editorial. Only twice did their rescue inspire passionate cries in the Sunday magazine. Although the Times news columns in those years did not offer much analysis or synthesis, as they seem to do today, the paper took great pride in ranking the importance of events each morning and in carefully reviewing the major news of every week and every year. How could it happen that the war on the Jews never qualified for such highlighted attention? There is no surviving record of how the paper's coverage of the subject was discussed by the Times editors during the war years of 39 through 45, but within that coverage is occurring evidence of a guiding principle. Do not feature the plight of the Jews, and take care when reporting it to link their suffering to that of many other Europeans. Reporting of the troubles in the Middle East today, you will see the same kind of reporting. Putting the blame where it isn't, making sure that the whole story is never published in the thought that the people will never find out. Back then, they got away with it for a long time because there was no other media out there that would tell the real story. So they got credited for telling the real story, even though it wasn't. They would tell the things that, the new media, which is now coming out, will tell the things that the mainstream media will not. Back then and now, the Times coverage generally took the view that the atrocities happening back then on the Jews, while horrific, were not significantly different from those visited upon the tens of millions of other war victims, nor more noteworthy. They still have that kind of reporting habits, and because of that, cannot figure out why their circulation numbers are dwindling massively. And no single explanation seems to suffice for what is surely the century's bitterest journalistic failure. They still do not realize what was going on because they still do the same things today. Only once did the Times devote its lead editorial to the subject, and that was on December 2nd of 1942, after the State Department had unofficially confirmed to leading rabbis that 2 million Jews had already been slain and that 5 million more were indeed, quote, in danger of extermination, unquote. Even that editorial, however, retreated quickly from any show of special concern, insisting that in its title that Jews were merely the first to suffer. It said the same fate awaited people of other faiths faiths and other races, including our own mongrel nation, which and even Hitler's allies in Japan, if he were to win the war. In only one 48-hour period in early 1943, what the paper moved to concede in multiple was that Europe's Jews merited extraordinary attention, and only after Anne O'Hare McCormick, the foreign affairs columnist, a favorite of Sulzberger's, and a member of his editorial board, who thought that a Madison Square Garden rally pleading for the rescue of Jews had indeed exposed the shame of the world. As never before, or even after that, the day's coverage included long quotations from speeches and even text from the rally's resolution calling for urgent measures to move Jews out of Hitler's grasp. More than a year later, the editorial page returned to that subject and supported the idea of temporarily housing refugees in isolated American camps. It urged saving innocent people without ever using the word Jew. Sadly, folks, that pattern is still being used even today when it comes to things happening in the Middle East and the actions of terrorists and ISIS. In that area right now, we have ISIS and the terrorists involved are in a systematic or in a state of systematically beheading children and other horrendous crimes committed by them, and not much on that is being reported. Stuff in the Times, and if I do, it is on a back page somewhere where it's really hard to find. The only media that shows concern for what is going on are what everyone now considers the new media. This one article on this one was found on newflagnews.com, and it is getting so bad that even CNN now has reporters on it, though instead of being a main story like it should be, it is placed in a myriad of other stories to make it blend in with all the other stuff. But beheading children is not going to blend in, folks. CNN's Jonathan Mann talked with a Chaldean American businessman, Mark Arabo, who said that the world hasn't seen an evil like this for generations. There's a park in Mosul where ISIS actually beheaded children and put their heads on sticks and put them in the park, Arabo explained. Four children are getting beheaded. Others are being raped and killed, and fathers are being hung. But do you hear of this in the Times? I know I haven't. And if it is mentioned, it is a small blurb on a back page, far from the breaking news of the day. Our media ought to be totally ashamed of themselves for not doing their jobs. At a meeting in the White House last week, he said that Chaldean American leaders and the political leaders are saying that the world should come together to stop these crimes against humanity and help alleviate the sufferings of the Iraqi people. The world hasn't seen this kind of atrocity in generations. This is a crime against humanity. This is much broader than a community or a state. This is a crime against humanity. They are doing the most horrendous and the most heartbreaking crimes you can think of. When asked about Sunni extremists targeting the Christians, Arabo said around 95% of Christians have fled and 5% have converted to save their lives. Also, the ISIS have marked the death stamps on Christian homes, so whoever returns will be killed. Now, I know I don't hear this as a breaking important news item on ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, or CNN. But it is there, and it should be. We are being lied to by our own media. And sadly, it has been going on for a long time, and it has been condoned by our leaders. How wrong is that, folks? Why do we allow this kind of thing to continue in a country where we can't talk about terrorists being here? This, my friends, is a way to get to history so it can be changed, because if they don't report it, then sometime in the future, someone in a position of power can come along and say with confidence that it never happened. Remember Ahmadinejad a few years back saying the Holocaust never happened? Mark my words, folks, this is the liberal agenda, and we need to know it intimately, or we will be doomed to repeat what we thought never would it happen again. For the Jewish Holocaust is happening again, only this time it is a Christian one. And still not much is being reported on it. And when an official says something that could be that could be about something like that. That official is denounced by the media, as happened here in Indiana this last week with my congressman, Todd Rapita, when he said on the Garrison show on WIBC something that had the media all up in arms, and Congressman Rapita had all his good comments on the border taken out of context, and he was castigated for what he said. We will be back with more after these important messages.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCS for automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
My name is Ruth Rusi. I volunteer with United Way, reading to children to help prepare them for a better academic future. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
Want to help those affected by Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines? To donate, visit philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. That's philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Just when you think you've heard everything, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on a rail. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn our world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your survival needs. And patriotic and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. No matter what anyone says here, with all that is going on in the world, a secure border is something that America cannot afford to be without, yet we are. On Garrison this week, Congressman Todd Rapita talked about our borders and how they are so open anyone could come in. We have been compromised. Worse, we have been abandoned by our leadership. Worse yet, they've turned on us. We have been ill-served by leadership who has been so mushy-headed, in other words, so wrong-headed, to bring that which is so dangerous to a civilization into our midst with no thought of what would happen to us if it got out. Our president is doing just that. Now, for you libs out there who I know will hit me for being unfeeling, I don't want the kids to die. I just think that it would have been better to send a team over to them to try and help them there than to bring the person that we were talking about into our country where the disease could get out, get into this country. People with Ebola brought here by our president and terrorists who are here because our borders are open and everyone knows it. Here is what Congressman Todd Rapita said first, so you can see what I say afterwards. It's reading what he says, a bunch of hooey. The leaders of countries are getting up and holding press conferences and whatever, encouraging their own citizens to come to America to become citizens. And we need to know whether the kids that are coming across mortar are thick or not, and then we need to keep them together. That is the truth. Mr. Rukita also said that instead of diffusing them all over the country, we need to keep them all in the same place so they can be easily found and treated, and if we are going to send them back. He said if you send them all over the country, it would be harder to treat them and harder to find them when the hearings for them came up. Nothing of what Todd Rukita said was untrue here, yet he is the one being castigated for what was said because it was said about kids. The big problem is not the kids, for they are the least of what is coming across our borders, folks. Among the significant numbers coming across from countries currently suffering from Ebola have been caught attempting to cross our porous borders in the Southwest. You want to see the whole story here, folks? Here it is. At least 71 individuals from three nations with people infected with the current outbreak of Ebola have either turned themselves in or been caught in attempting to enter the United States in just January. Then you get into crime and terrorism problems. 28 individuals from Pakistan, 13 from Egypt, 4 individuals from Yemen, and on and on and on, not to mention MS-13 actively recruiting down there at these holding places where they are bringing these kids in. The kids have been nothing more than a shiny object here. They are not the largest percentage of what is coming over. This whole thing comes down to a lack of leadership or a lack of leadership leading us in the right direction instead of the wrong one. Google a border, if you will, and you will be amazed at who all is coming across down there. It is, like I said and have been saying for years now, everybody knows this border is open. Who knows how many terrorist cells have come across and are just waiting for the order of assimilating into our society so they can fit in until that time. To me, what is the scariest thing of all here is that someone like Congressman Todd Rukita will get in trouble for saying what everyone in the House and Senate should be saying, and no one thinks anything about this, and no one says anything. To me, that is the scariest thing. America has become a place where the truth will no longer set you free, but will in fact get you in trouble. If you have the audacity of hope that you can get the truth out into the public, that you can be revered as a man or woman to rival the truthfulness of George Washington, you are sadly mistaken anymore. More than likely, you will be shunned and castigated as my Congressman Todd Rukita. And he was the lone person in the House to bring this whole thing up about what is really coming across their borders. Folks, it shouldn't have been just Todd Rukita saying that, but every member of the House and every member of the Senate, it should have also been from our president. He is not a poor leader, folks, if you think about it. He has done everything that he has campaigned about when running. He has kept his promises. The trouble with that is, unlike me and others who didn't vote for him, the ones who fell for his looks and color to vote him into office are now finding out what he said in the beginning and what he has done to us. They are always saying, now, and we can always say it's better late than never, but the problem is a lot of what Obama and the left has done to this country are coming close to, if not already, irrevocable and irreparable. This nation is in trouble. We have been sitting on the sidelines for far too long. And I am honored to be part of Conservative Nation Media. I am honored to have friends like Kathy Hinners of Daily Roll Call to be able to see the things that she actively goes out and searches for this stuff. Of course, where she's at, there's a lot going on. The trouble is, she has the initiative to go out and get this news. Just like my friend in California, Douglas V. Gibbs, who was on this show a couple of weeks ago. He goes out and gets the news. He just happened to be in the right place at the right time when this whole immigration busing in of these kids fell due in Murrieta, California. He was there. He ended up on Hannity and Fox and Friends and CNN and Al Jazeera even over this whole thing. his moment of fame hit. Then there are people like me who usually get maybe about 10, 15, 20 people on my show, and maybe at the most 100 will download it for future listening. Although lately I have to admit I've had more people coming into the live part of the show than I've had in a long, long time, which pleases me to no end because it gets the word out. For each person that is here, they may hear something they don't know and they will talk to it to their friend. Then it kind of goes from there, which is one of the reasons for this show, one of the reasons for Conservative Nation Media, one of the reasons for Douglas B. Gibson doing what he does, one of the reasons for Kathy Hinder doing what she does. We need to get the word out. This nation is in trouble, and we need to stop what is going on before we lose her completely to an enemy that shouldn't even be a threat. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design Monday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher's Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And the news this week was a story of how President Ronald Reagan's press secretary, James Brady, who was shot in the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan, died. That death, according to Red Flag News, has now been ruled a homicide. This was written by Peter Herman of the Washington Post, which said Monday's death of President Ronald Reagan's press secretary, James S. Brady, has been ruled a homicide, resulting from the gunshot wound he suffered in the assassination attempt on Reagan in 1981, more than three decades ago. The ruling was made by the medical examiner's office in Virginia, where Brady, 73, died in an Alexandria retirement community and was announced Friday by Gwendolyn Crump, the D.C. Police Department's chief spokeswoman. There is no immediate word on whether the shooter, John W. Hinckley, Jr., who has been treated at St. Elizabeth's Psychiatric Hospital since his trial, could face new criminal charges. Hinckley, 59, was not found not guilty by reason of insanity after he shot Reagan and three others in March 30th of 1981, but the decision to pronounce Brady's death as a homicide 33 years after he was wounded outside of Washington Hilton on Connecticut Avenue Northwest raises questions about whether prosecutors can and will try to get around the double jeopardy, the legal concept that protects a person from being tried twice for the same crime, and pursue a murder charge. Bill Miller, a spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office, said Friday that prosecutors are reviewing the ruling and that his office would have no further comment at this time. The shooting of Brady three decades ago and the revelation of Hinckley's mental illness, he told authorities he hoped that assassinating Reagan would impress the actress Jodie Foster, and I remember all of this, had largely faded from the headlines until Brady's death this week. Brady, along with his wife, Sarah, became leading advocates of gun control after the shooting, fighting 6 years for passage of legislation requiring background checks for handguns brought from federally licensed dealers. Gail Hoffman, a Brady family spokesman, said that she could not immediately comment on the decision, but said Jim had been suffering health issues since the shooting. Prosecutors would face several hurdles if they decided to file new charges against Hinckley, including overcoming possible challenges to the medical examiner's ruling. Hinckley had been charged with 13 counts, two of them related to Brady's shooting, assault with intent to kill, and a firearms offense. We will be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay. What?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
And finally, we here at the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show want to leave you with our new weekly Around the World in 8 minutes. From Texas, from the Daily Mail, the sheriff leading the investigation into the brutal slaying of a border control agent by two illegal immigrants has revealed local farmers in his county have reported spotting gangs of armed Mexicans in military fatigue marching through their fields. Sheriff Larry Spence's department played a key role in catching Ismael Hernandez and Gustavo Tijerino after they allegedly gunned down the hero officer Javier Vega Jr. in front of his mother and father, wife, and three sons while they were on a family fishing trip. Since their capture, Fox News reported that the suspects are both Mexican nationals who were in the U.S. illegally and have been deported six times between them. Spence, who has been sheriff of Willacy County in South Texas for 29 years, said the problem on the border is reaching a crisis point. He said farmers with land 25 miles north of the border have reported groups of men believed to be illegal immigrants walking single file through farmland in military fatigue. Some were armed with rifles. Do you think that as Americans we are safe? Supporters of the ISIS terror group tweeted thousands of messages on Friday bearing the hashtag America, a message from ISIS to U.S., featuring gruesome photos and threats to U.S. soldiers and citizens after American airstrike took out terrorist targets in Iraq for the first time. Some tweeted photos depict U.S. Army soldiers, U.S. Marines hung from bridges in Fallujah, decapitated men, human heads on spikes, Twin Towers in flames on September 2011. This message for every American citizen, read one message sent with the hashtag, you are the target of every Muslim in the world, wherever you are. You still think we are safe? This is something that people who are right-headed on this one have been telling the left and the right in our government for years now. Think they will get the message now? I kind of doubt it. It is why I suggest we stop voting them back into office, folks. Just saying. From Alan D. West's site comes this one that I have talked about here before, but it bears repeating from someone else. On August 7th, President Barack President Obama had the chance to define a clear and present evil in our time. ISIS represents the Nazis of this century. There is no clearer portrayal of 7th century barbarism than this movement, which we have allowed to gain strength, momentum, and victory. It splits across Syria and Iraq and easily be compared to that of the 20th century blitzkrieg of Hitler. And the savagery being inflicted is beyond belief. Consider the markings of Christian homes. History does repeat itself. President Obama hid behind the excuse of Iraqi government reconciliation. Destroying ISIS is not linked to the success or failure of Iraq's governance. The destruction of ISIS is a global imperative, and someone has to lead. President Obama referred last night to opening discussions with other partners, the UN, who backed Hamas, and I suppose he will chat with the local Kiwanis Club and the Boy Scouts. Last night was a moment where Barack Hussein Obama could have shown Churchill-like leadership. Instead, he took the cautious path of a Neville Chamberlain. And again, why was he so anxious in Libya and not now? What Obama should have said was this: I must apologize for allowing this evil to be born and grow. I ran as president who wanted to end wars. Now I realize my campaign promises and personal desires are not of any consideration because the enemy also has a vote. The Islamic State represents the most reprehensible evil the world has seen since that of Nazi Germany, and the world did nothing then. I shall not allow this on my watch. America will lead, and we shall destroy this 7th century barbarism. Tonight I am committing American military power to kill ISIS wherever it is. If America sees the black flag, we shall kill those who raise it. First, however, we will rescue the Yazidi and Christians trapped in the Sinjar Mountains, and we shall kill any ISIS forces impeding that objective. Then, in concert with our Kurdish allies, we will begin a committed offensive operation to ensure that Islamic totalitarianism and jihadism is defeated. God bless liberty and freedom. God bless America, and God curse ISIS. Sadly, that is not what he said, and the situation is even more confused and dangerous than ever before. And our president goes on vacation. Need any more be said about the way he is leading? And to go farther when it comes to the danger we are facing when it comes to ISIS, even Netanyahu warns America about it. He said that you are ultimately the target of radical Islam. Now, if I want to keep bringing back up things that I and others on CNN around the nation have been saying for a long time now, I told you so. This is not a game, folks. We are, in fact, in real danger, and the window for acting is closing fast. History will mark this as the week that President Obama recognized that evil unimpeded will devour everything before it. We say perhaps because with this president, you never know. President Obama said Thursday night he authorized limited airstrikes against the Islamic State in Iraq and al-Sham, ISIS, to stop the Sunni jihadists from carrying out a genocide in northern Iraq. Well, what he didn't do but should is make a larger U.S. military commitment against ISIS, both to avert a humanitarian catastrophe and protect American security interests. After routing Iraq's army from Mosul and most of northern Iraq in June, ISIS has grown as a military force. It captured significant more war material, including armored U.S. Humvees, and has attracted hardened jihadist fighters from Syria and elsewhere. In addition to the sums it looted from Mosul banks, the group has the potential to gain access to revenue from oil fields in northern Iraq. We should have stopped ISIS from even becoming a player in this, but because of Obama's policies and intent, they are now a force to be reckoned with. And mark my words here, force. And folks, they will have to be reckoned with, because if we don't, they will be coming here. They promised that when a spokesman for ISIS told Americans, "We will see you after raising our flag over the White House." Time to call Obama for a reckoning of his so-called transparent administration and what he has done to this nation in terms of safety and security. And finally, in a blow to American forces and everywhere, comes this one. Another Obama first in destroying our national sovereignty. "'Tis our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world." This was said by George Washington in his farewell address, September 19th of 1796. But Obama has done just the opposite. A German Army Brigadier General who recently served with the NATO forces in Afghanistan is assuming duties as the Chief of Staff of U.S. Army Europe, the first time a non-American officer has held that position. Army sources in Europe said the first ever assignment of a German general to the USAREUR staff is unrelated to the political furor over the spying revelations, but does reflect the increased importance of multinational operations in NATO. Brigadier General Marcus Lubenthal, most recently the commander of Germany's 12th Panzer Brigade in Hamburg and chief of staff of Regional Command North International Security Assistance Force Afghanistan, will be stationed at USAREUR headquarters in Wiesbaden, Germany. He could report to duty as early as Monday. Lubenthal also served as military assistant to the deputy commander of operations and assistant chief of staff and operations for NATO forces in Kosovo. So we now have someone other than American in charge of American forces. Another domino in Obama's plan to downgrade America in the world has fallen. Which one will be next? And that is our segment in the world, around the world in 8 minutes for today. Our lineup of shows on CNN Now has some great ones, and we will start this week on Sundays with the Michael Berryman Show, which is the old soldier of patriotism, airing 4 to 6 p.m. Sundays. American by Design has moved to Mondays with Bing Fisher and is now on from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Inside Tennessee, Dave Vance is now on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 Eastern. I think that Bing Fisher's show is from 8 to 10, too. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to check this out. The Real Radio Free America with Duke Brooks airs on Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. On Thursdays, we have the Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalitsky from 8 to 10 also Eastern Time. And, of course, on Saturdays, you have yours truly, the infidel behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. CNN is now growing and has been for a while, and we hope that everyone tells all their friends and acquaintances about our great shows and our programming that we have here for everyone to join in with us. And of course, we never accept the world as we see it, but as God meant it to be. I am determined to always help in returning us to the recipe that made America great. That means being active in what this country needs, not sitting on my couch and complaining as I watch things happen that won't help this nation at all. We must actively change culture, for that is where liberals have it over us. For now, I know this can be done. Until next week, God bless you all. Have a great week. God bless you all. Courtesy of the red, white, and blue. bless you all.